Morning. Today's daf in Kinnim is daf chav dalet. Okay. What we should be doing today is starting the third parak of Kinnim and awkwardly ending somewhere in the middle of the sixth mishnah of the third parak. What we will do today is that we're going to finish up the second parak of Kinnim. Right. We started the second parak yesterday. We're going to finish the second parak today. We're going to start the third parak today. And I plan on, my goal statement for the day, is to do Mishnayos Aleph Beis and Gimel in the third parak of Kinnim, leaving ourselves off with three Mishnayos to do for tomorrow. They are the three most difficult Mishnayos in Kinnim, and some suggest in all of Shas. And then, tomorrow we move to Tamid, which, again, is strange, but that's just the way it is. Okay. Anyway, that's our story for today. Maybe tomorrow I'll just do Kinnim, and then I'll save Tamid for what's Friday. Today? Today's what? Maybe I'll save Tamid beginning of Tamid for Friday. All right, we'll see. It might be more realistic. Okay, second parak of Kinnim, which is really a continuation of the first parak of Kinnim. So let's review. The birds obviously come in the form of either a chatas or a nola, and that's it. If you're obligated to bring birds, so it usually comes as a pair, one being a chatas and one being an ola. The blood of the bird ola sprinkled on the top of the mizbech, the blood of the chatas bird is sprinkled below the chotasikra. You must do the ola on the top and the chatas on the bottom. If you switch, if you flip them, it's ma'akev. It means that they are both not good. There's nothing to talk about. Ein tamus, the Gemara's expression is ein tamus v'zachros be'ofos. And when it comes to birds, you don't have to. There's no issue of blemishes. Ein tamus, from the word tamim, and zachros. And also, there's no male designation. An ola, by an animal, needs to come from a male, cannot come from a female. But when it comes to birds, you don't have to look for male. As I mentioned many times before, not only do you not have to look for male, but quite honestly, you can't look for male because the genitalia of the bird is internal, not external, and so therefore, good luck. No, but the Torah knows, the Torah recognizes that, and therefore the Torah does not demand that we have to figure out which one's the male and which one's the female. There is a male and a female. Yes. It is sexual reproduction, but we don't know, and we don't have to know. Okay. So, good. That was easy question, easy answer. I'm glad we started off strong. We are very strong. Okay. Our Mishnayos now in the second parak deals with scenarios where the birds are flying. The birds are flying from one group to another. Now let's remember, okay, because these are just good basic rules to have. If I have a chatas bird that flies amongst a bunch of ola birds, and let's say the numbers are preposterous, one chatas bird flies in with 10,000 ola birds, they all have to die. For the simple reason that we don't know which one's which, for the simple reason that we're not going to say bittul, and so therefore now each bird I take from that mixture, from that tarovis, possibly is a chatas, possibly is an ola. I don't know which to sprinkle on the upper portion, on the lower portion, and so therefore every one of those birds now is consigned to death, and that's the end of that discussion. Where it gets exciting and complicated is where I have a pair of birds where they're unassigned, meaning they're mukdash, they are sanctified, they are now have kedusha saguf, but they are unassigned. And in the world of birds, that's a possibility. None of this is true by an animal. An animal, you can't be mukdash the animal and then at a later point in time decide what kind of carbon it's going to be. By an animal, the moment that you're mukdash, it is the moment that you assign it to its carbon. By birds, however, you have the opportunity to be mukdash the birds, the pair of birds, and then later on, the Kohen's going to then determine which one's going to be as a chatas and which one's going to be as an ola. Good. Now the Mishnah went on to discuss scenarios in which I have pairs of unassigned birds get mixed up with pairs of unassigned birds. So yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, we did Mishnah Beis. I'm going to quickly review it, and then we're going to move on to Mishnah Gimel. Now, the reason why I want to review Mishnah Beis is because it really is the cornerstone to a good part of our discussion today. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, illustrated the following scenario where I had two women, each one having two pairs of birds. Okay, for whatever reason, each woman had this requirement and obligation to bring two pairs of birds. Right, remember, you bring a pair of birds if a woman's a zava and she finishes her yamei ziva, She brings birds if she's a yoledes and she's just given birth. And again, there could be a host of other reasons why it is that she would in fact bring birds. Whatever the case is, each woman has two pairs of birds, parach mizu lezu. So, and then one bird flew from one to the other. Now, I gave you cheat sheets and I told you, look at your cheat sheets over here. We're now in the second chapter and we're on the first illustration, diagram A of the second chapter. So here you have now woman A and woman B. Woman A is bringing circular birds and woman B is bringing square birds. Okay. And then what happens is that one bird flies from A into B, leaving now three obviously in A and five now in B. What's the ruling? So listen to the ruling. You may not fully understand the ruling, and quite frankly, I may not fully understand the ruling, but listen to the ruling because it really will carry us through this Mishnah and the next Mishnah as well. And the ruling goes like this. Parach mizu lezu, posel echad behalichaso. So it posels, meaning that now there's going to be a disqualification. The chazer, posel echad bechaziraso. And if it flies back, it's posel as well. And I'm just going to finish reading the Mishnah, and then we're going to go back to explaining and understanding this a little bit better. Parach vechazer, parach vechazer. And let's say I keep having now a bird flying from A to B and from B back to A. So the worst case scenario is going to be is that of those of the now eight birds and they keep flying back and forth, I still at the end of the day will not lose. I will only have the ability to bring four birds in totality. Okay. Now, first of all, you remember what we learned back at the end of the first chapter, that if birds of one woman and another woman get mixed up together, so then, and they were stuma, meaning they were not assigned, so we learned that you can only bring half of that bunch. We discussed that yesterday. Because remember, and it's all based on the trigger effect, meaning because once they're unassigned and once I bring one, it triggers the other bird to being the opposite. So in other words, if I bring a pair of unassigned birds, once I bring one as a chatas, its companion, its pair, its mate automatically becomes an ola. And so if I have four birds and they're all of them unassigned and they all get mixed up together and they did not belong to one woman, they belong to two different women, so now the problem is going to be is that once I offer one chatas, its mate is going to be an ola. And I don't know where that mate is. And when I bring another chatas, its mate's going to be an ola. So now if I brought two birds as an ola, two things could be happening. Either I got lucky enough to pick out the ola of its mate, or it could be that I brought the ola of the other woman, the bird of the other woman. If I brought the bird of the other woman, that triggers its mate to be a chatas. So you see the problem? And then, so what you're going to max out of is of this mixture of eight, you're only going to be able to bring four. Okay? And as I mentioned already yesterday, I'm going to repeat again today, neither woman really is going to know whose bird is being brought. The main objective of this Mishnah is not really to help the woman, although we certainly want to, in terms of knowing who brought the karban, but the main objective of the Mishnah is just simply to say how many birds can be offered on the Mizbeach. Really, we're trying to save karbanas, meaning that's our primary goal in these Mishnayos. Okay. Now in this Mishnah, we're dealing with the following scenario. Again, I have birds belonging to one woman, birds belonging to another woman, and here one bird flies from A to B, from woman A to woman B. And so obviously that leaves three and five. Here's the ruling, okay? The ruling is cross out one from A and cross out one from B. Meaning we're going to disqualify a bird from A and a bird from B. Why? Okay, it's very simple. Let's imagine, it's not very simple. I take it back. I want to redo on that statement. It's not very simple. But hear me out, follow me. Let's see if we can make sense of this. Let's say woman A now, who has three birds and they're unassigned, let's say she offers her karbanos for her birds first. Okay. That's fine. Meaning, why not? They're unassigned. So therefore, of those three birds, I'll bring one as a chatas, one as an ola, and the third bird, choose, whatever, a chatas or an ola. But you know what's going to happen now? Once you do that, that third bird obviously had a mate that flew into B. That mate now is going to, by definition, be assigned. as either a chatas or an ola. Whatever. In other words, if let's say I brought the third bird of A as a chatas, so now that means that there's going to be an ola flying around in B. Now, do you remember what we said? That if I have one definite bird get mixed in with a whole bunch of birds, not everything, go back to 1B. Right? I'm a chishi. Right? I'm a chishi, go back to 1B. If I got, remember, I got four birds that were unassigned and I have a chatas get mixed in. So right, so I can only bring two. I can only bring two, and I can only bring two as a chatas. So in our case over here, if the A lady, right, brought the third one as a chatas, so the B lady now has an ola amongst her five. So now she can bring, now, if you follow my cheat sheet, that B now is going to look almost identical to 1B. Meaning, because what we can do now is we don't know which one, but one of them is going to be an ayin, meaning it's going to be an ola, and I'm going to have four other birds. Okay. How many birds now are going to be brought in total from B? So it's only going to be two.
Why can't you have three ola? Because one of them, of the chatan, is on the other side. So the other two that are left in B are going to be chatan as well.
You don't know if it's an ola or a chatan.
B, they're unassigned.
B is assigned by
one. No, unassigned.
No, B, the circle one is ola.
One of them is going to be an ola. We don't know which one.
Maybe. Okay, so you take three of them as ola.
But you can't take three of them as ola. Because remember, let's go back to 1B.
Because it's
we right. Okay. You can't take it. So in other words, from B, the maximum you're going to get is
two.
Okay. So in order to avoid this issue, so what the Chachamim did is they did something bordering on brilliant. They said, look, if I have a scenario where A flies to B, here's what we'll do. We'll knock off one of the A's, we'll knock off one of the B's, and the rest are good to go. Meaning, because now that I knocked off one of the A's, so now it's not going to affect the mixture in B. Now, it's true that if...
You say knocked off.
Meaning, possible. We're going to possible.
Take it out.
We'll just take them out.
Okay.
You don't know which one, but they're unassigned. So it's okay. Meaning, so because A is unassigned, so in other words, we're going to take one out from A, and so now that leaves me two unassigned birds. Okay, good. So in other words, one is a chatas, one is an ola.
Why don't you just mix everything and get four out?
Mixing everything would only allow me to bring maximum of half of the amount.
Four, so, okay.
And with the way we're doing it now, you could bring six. Okay? Again, if you... You see, that's the key to it. In other words, as long as you understand the mission statement of the Mishnah. The mission statement of the Mishnah is, save the birds. Right? I sound so green right now. It's unbelievable. So, I sound great. Correct.
Of course.
Right, maximize kabanos. Right. 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 Understood, but in other words, you're right. Okay, maximize the number of karbanos. So if we just simply said, let's just mix everything together, we're only going to be able to bring four. But now that I get to knock off one from A and one from B, it's a preemptive move, which now will allow me to bring two from A and four from B. That'll get me six.
Now from A, does that go to the credit of the woman?
Again, the one, right.
From B, it doesn't.
A lady will now get credited with one, but again, I'm not trying to sound unsympathetic, but right now, leave the women out of the discussion.
but the B woman still doesn't get credited.
It's a good part of it to consider, but right now, just I want to focus on the Mishnah and what the Mishnah is trying to capitalize on. The Mishnah is trying to bring about the most karbanos imaginable. Okay.
When you make one of them possible, like the one that's so how do you know that's the mate that you're taking out?
Because they're unassigned.
The mate of the other one.
Yeah, but because they're unassigned, so you can mate whichever one you want to. Meaning when, keep in mind, when there were four in A, in other words, there are going to be two pair. But we don't, at that point in time, they're not paired up. Meaning the Kohen can then, at a later point in time, create the pairs.
Go back. One from the B out. To make it possible, but it might be from the other lady.
Yeah. Go back to A. Go back to chapter 1A. right? Where I'm going to take now three pairs of bird and I'm going to mix them all together and they all belong to one woman. So I now have six birds. The Kohen can pair up whichever configuration he wants.
Right.
So here also, meaning I have three birds, we're going to take one of them out, fine. Meaning, but there are two unassigned birds left. The Kohen will just simply, one will be Chatz, one will be Nola.
You have two owners. So if you take from B, maybe you're taking a bird of B rather than a bird of A.
But that'll be fine.
The B section.
That'll be fine because whatever I understand it. But whatever bird is remaining, even if it was the one that came from A, but remember though, it's not going to be affected by A because A. Oh, we took one out from A also. So the pairing of A and B, A will no longer affect B because we took one away from A as well. You would be absolutely right had we not taken a bird away from A. So then A would have a unassigned bird that is paired with one in its and B, and once I bring A, it's whatever I bring it as the Chatras and Ola, its counterpart will be the opposite. And then you'd be 100% correct. This preemptive move of the Chachamim to take one away from A and one away from B will now leave the rest of them unaffected by whatever happens in the other. Good. Okay, and that is Mishnah Beis. Did I finish reading it? Yeah. Mishnah Gimel. Now, Lezu Achas, Velezu Shtayim, Velezu Gimel, Velezu Dal, Velezu Hei, Velezu Vav, Velezu Zayin. Okay? And now imagine, and really, when I say imagine, I mean imagine. Meaning, we're not talking halacha lamasa. We're talking now about taking the rule that we just learned and applying it to the following scenario. Now, you want to see it as clearly as you can? So you can look behind me. I laid it on the board behind me. Okay, so one woman had to bring one pair and another woman had to bring two pairs. And we go all the way up to the seventh woman who had to bring seven pairs of birds and each one of them came. And now the Mishnah is going to describe the following scenario where I'm going to read the Mishnah, I'll go back up to the board, I'll diagram it out. You'll see it all. It'll be just enjoyable. Zu achas, zu shtayim, zu gimel, zu dal, zu hev, zu vav, zu zayin. Parach min harishon l'shnia. So now I have one bird flying from cage 1 to cage 2. Ula shlishis, and then I have another bird flying from 2 to 3. Ula revias, then from 3 to 4. Vula chamishis, vula shishis, vula shvias. Okay, so in other words, I'm going to have now one bird fly. Now, watch as we have just one. Let's watch the effects of one bird flying from here over to here. Okay, what happens now when one bird flies from here to over here? -1, -1.
Plus +1.
Okay.
Did you take one out of two?
I take one out. Okay, and then I'm going to one's going to fly from here to here. What just happened with that?
The one from there.
-1, -1.
And another -1.
I'm going to fly. One's going to fly from here. -1, -1. Fly. That's right. Across the board. -1, -1. And you get it.
Right.
-1.
Every time you flies from here, you lose one. Every time it comes, you lose one.
And then -1.
Now it's going to fly.
-1. Now the Mishnah is going to go back. Now I had a bird fly from over here to over here.
Another -1.
-1, -1.
That's brilliant.
-1. Right, did I do?
Yeah, you're fine. Every time you gain and lose, you get -1. Yeah, you're right.
I'm good? Okay.
Another -1.
But shouldn't I be...
You have to put one for number 6. -1.
Yeah.
There's another -1.
I missed one. I'm sorry. Okay, one flew from over here, -1, -1. Yeah. -1, -1. Now,
+1.
There is nothing left.
One more where? Over here?
No, that's it.
Yeah.
There's -1 now for number 2.
Number 1 is gone.
-1 and -1.
There's nothing in 1 anymore.
Okay.
Right. But isn't there really cannot to dip below a certain number?
Okay, now, I mean... This is right, correct. Meaning, since there's only two birds over here, okay, we're done.
Now they're going to start flying.
Okay, now, okay, good. So now, if we're all on the same page, watch as I read the Mishnah, because now you're gonna make perfect sense of this Mishnah. It's a difficult Mishnah, but assuming that we got it all right and my numbers are all correct, watch now as we go through the Mishnah. So parach min rishon lishnia lishish lishvias lachamish lishish lishvias v'chazir posel echa balechasov echa b'chazirasov harishona v'hashnia Ein lahem klum. Says the Mishnah, the first two nests don't have anything. Right. Right, correct. Right, we should all nod our heads saying, yes, that's yes. One and two don't have anything. Hashlishis, yeshla achas. Now the third group has one pair. Good. Harevius yeshla shtayim. And number four has got
two pairs.
Perfect. So, v'achamishis yeshla shosh, hashishis yeshla arba, hashvis yeshla shesh. Wonderful. Now, wonderful. Now, I'm sorry, hashishis yeshla shesh. Now, before I go on to the Mishnah, here's one thing I'd like to discuss with you, just so because we're going to get to a point in the Mishnah which is going to sound a little funny, and I'd like us all to understand. Okay. Remember, the whole reason why let's stay right over here with one and two. When this bird flies over here, I knock out this guy. Why? Why do I knock out that guy?
There's no pair.
Because I knock out that guy because if I don't knock out that guy and the Kohen offers it, it will be assigned as either a chatas or nola, and making this either a chatas or nola. In other words, if this was a chatas, this one's going to be nola, and we don't want that. So therefore, what we do is we knock out one. So the moment that one flies over here, we knock one out over here. Good. Now, we are now at a point where there's nothing left in one, and there's nothing left in two. Meaning, we're not going to be offering anything from cage one or cage two. So now, allow me to ask you the following question, because the mission now is going to continue with more flying. Let's say one flew from here, number two to number three. There's really nothing to knock out over here. Right? Agreed?
Wait. So what's going to fly if there's nothing left to fly?
I mean, there's still birds in here.
Right.
But none of them are going to be offered.
But they can still do damage. They can still do damage to the other.
Now, one bird is going to fly from over here to over here. So, if you think this through, we're not going to offer any birds over here.
That bird is going to be killed.
So there's really nothing in this nest which is going to affect what's going to happen over here. So the truth be told is that when one bird flies from over here to over here, do I really need to knock it out? I know, it requires some thought. I also am thinking...
What's left behind is supposed to be knocked out, but there's nothing left to be knocked out.
There's nothing, meaning there's nothing left to be knocked out, and we're not offering, remember.
Right.
I knock out from here and from here because I don't want this bird to affect what happens over here. But we do get to a point where now, as we continue on in this discussion, and we're going to have birds flying from over here to over here, I'm not offering anything left over here. So there's really nothing to affect what's going to be happening over here. And meanwhile, we're going to use the same formula of knock out a bird where it comes from, knock out a bird from where it's going. So, and this is not my point. All the Mefarshim say this.
But why are you knocking out if there's no designation of the remainder? The whole point
here, you're right. In other words, here I'm not going to knock anything out.
Right.
But when the bird flies over here, just leave it.
But it's only when it
You still have to take that bird out because that bird is not supposed to be offered as a sacrifice. Yep. So you have a minus one as soon as it goes into here.
All right.
You have a minus.
I'm saying
right.
Okay,
no. You're going to have another minus one.
Or let's do that. Let's do
minus
how about let's do it this way? When one bird flies from here to here. Right?
That's different.
Okay, fine. So, but
because over there you have two birds that are still eligible.
Two birds that are still eligible.
Right.
So when one bird's going to fly from here to here, do I really need to knock out that last bird? No. I really don't need to.
At what point are we talking about?
So it's not going to... In other words, it comes to a point in time where the reason behind the knockout is not really necessary. But you're going to start to realize that we'll just do it anyway. Meaning, once the rabbis gave us a formula...
Right.
We're going to follow the form. We're going to continue to follow the formula. Now, why do I say all this? Because we'll get to the end, and you'll see. You get to the end of the mission, you'll say what just happened, and then you'll remember what I'm saying right now.
You're saying that now.
I know. So yesh la parach v'chazar. Now we're continuing in the Mishnah. Now, right. So we have so far an accounting of where we stand. So two, are, in other words, one and two are knocked out. I only have one pair left in three, two pair, three pair, four pair, and five pair. Okay. Parach v'chazar, and now the birds continue to fly. Now, do we even have to start from one? We don't. We really don't have to start from one. Meaning, we could really just start from three. you can go either way on this.
Where is it flying from, though? Parach v'chazar.
In other words, parach v'chazar. We're going to loop it again. Same thing.
Same bird from one is going to go all over the place again.
Yeah. In other words, we'll have one go from one to two, from two to three, from three to four. I'm just going to start from three, just to make it easy.
At what point this is happening? After all that?
Okay. Yeah. So here we go. Okay.
Second round.
We're going to
second round of this.
Yeah. Situation. You know what? Yeah. We're going to call this just a
another tour.
This is a continuation of that.
Okay.
You don't have another color?
It would be better. It would be better if I did.
There's nothing in
round number two. Round number two. What do you mean? There's nothing. There's still six birds.
No, one and two. There's not.
That's why I'm not. I'm not even gonna.
I'm just continuing.
Rabbi, you can always draw a line between.
Okay.
Because it's done.
Okay. Round. We'll call it round two. Round number two. Okay. Okay, again, round number two.
Just taking more birds off.
You have to do minus one again here.
And round number two. And, right, we're going to go back. Right. For round two, we're going to go in each direction.
You need to subtract this.
I'm going up. Okay, and remember now, every time it flies, minus one, minus one. Every time it flies back, minus one, minus one.
Right.
And so, again, minus one, minus one. Minus one, minus one. And minus one, minus one. Okay, so now...
No, at the end, there's going to be one minus one, no?
No, because it flew in, minus one, it flies back, minus one.
So three is done.
So now, at this point in time, three is done. Four is...
One pair.
Two, four, six.
One pair left.
One pair left in four, two pair left in five, three pair, four pair. Okay? And hopefully the mission will say exactly that. Wait, you'll see. Hashlish is where Avi saying lam klom. Okay, so we lose out now three and four.
You're losing three, not four.
Correct. I'm sorry. Okay. So, because remember, with every flight, this way I lose one and one, come back, I lose one and one. Okay.
All right.
Sorry. So, says the Mishnah, Abba Shishish, Sheparach Lechaz, Batzach Lechaz, Shahashlish Ve'in Lam Klum, Chamish Yisish Lam Achas. Okay, number five has got one pair. Shishi Seishlam Shtayim. And there are two pair in number six. Shishi Seishlam Chamesh. And five pair in number seven. Perfect. Parach V'chazar. And we're going to go one more round. You'll see. In other words, the payoff is not going to be that exciting, but there will be a payoff. So now we're going to do it one more time. So now, I'll start with five. You're right, I agree. So now we're at round number three. Round number three, here. Okay, and then back, and back. Okay.
Minus two each one.
Okay, so now, right, so in other words, we're done with
minus
five.
Minus four from each.
Okay, huh?
Minus four from each.
Five and six are gone.
Okay, right. Five is gone, six is gone. And seven, what's seven going to be?
Four.
We're just going to lose one more pair by seven.
One more.
In other words, when one bird flies over here, we lose one. When one bird flies away, we're going to lose one. Okay. So we're only going to lose one more pair. So one, two, three. So we
lost
three
pairs.
Three pairs. One, two, three. And so we're left with one, two, three, and four. Okay. And says the Mishnah. So now with that third round, we're going to lose nest numbers five and six. And Hashviyas Yeshla Arba. Now, what about number seven? So number seven's got four. Now, Hedy, you ready? The payoff. The Yesh Arbam Hashviyas Lo Hifsida Klum. Some people say in the Mishnah, this is a Yesh Omrim. How often are we going to see a machlokus in Masechet Kinim? Not that often. Here we go. Some say Yeshar Mimashvias Lo Hefsid Klum, that the seventh one has lost nothing. Okay. Now, what just happened? Meaning, there is an opinion in the Mishnah that says that here we're going to resurrect Tchias HaMesim at its best. We're going to resurrect all seven. Now, why? Why are we resurrecting all seven? Because, as I explained, the whole formula of take out one and take out one is because when one flies from over here to over here, it has its pairs still hanging out over here. And when this gets offered, this one will get affected. But look, at this point in time now, right, we lost every one of the nests. Nests 1 through 6. So now, at this point in time, the only nest that I'm offering from is this nest over here. Now, it's, what is it? It is 14 unassigned birds. So just, according to the Yesh Omrim, just offer them. Meaning, what are you concerned about? Well, some of the birds came from over here to over here. Okay, great. Fine. So, but these birds were also unassigned. Now, what do you want to tell me? Yeah, but its pair might still be here. Yeah, but remember, we're not offering any more from 6. And we're not offering any more from 5.
No, but the thing is that, well, we don't it's not that, cumulative. Right? What happens is that after each trip, you already took one out.
That's right. I understand.
You cannot say, oh, no, you have to... Since you took one out already...
Good, so you're following the rule, following the Tanakhama. Right. I'm just simply explaining.
Right.
I'm just giving an understanding of what the Yesh Omrim is thinking. The Yesh Omrim is now thinking that now because we are not offering from any more of the nests, and this is the only one we're offering from, and nothing will affect the birds in this, so offer all the birds.
No,
and
the formula won't work.
Number 7, you are saying that from number 7 goes to 6. Is it, are they not conceiving that from 6?
On 3 separate occasions, I had a bird flying from over here to over here.
Right, so you have to take
this. And I understand that. And then when that happened, we took a bird out. I'm with you.
Right.
And so the Tanakhama is of the opinion that good. So we took out, every time a bird flew from over here, we took one out.
Right.
Fine.
Okay.
But the Yesh Omrim now is of the opinion that because now I got nothing else left and all I have are these birds, and then remember, everything was unassigned. Everything. Every one of these birds, 2, 4, 8, all these birds were unassigned.
But then
nothing to lose by keeping
them. Yeah. Okay.
Has anyone talked about why they go up to 7 and not up to 5? Seems like could have been the
same point could have been made. I don't know.
You make it, there must be something that you want to
see. Because the psul that we're making is not... Remember what we said from the very beginning. Meaning, it didn't have to make the birds pasul. We could have... What we could have done, and here, going all the way back over here, is we could have just simply said to this person, you know what? One bird flew from over here to over here, one bird flew from over here to over here. We say to her, why not just... You don't bring and you bring all 4. Meaning... This system of one and one, take out one, that's a rabbinically imposed system. There could have been other ways to solve the problem. There could have been other solution sets. So this, when we disqualify, we're not saying that the birds are objectively disqualified. We're just following a particular path guided to us by the Chachamim. But you come to the point, and I guess it is a big punchline, you come to the point where the reason behind the enactment is no longer there, and so therefore the Yesh Omrim says, so let bring all 7 now.
But that's not the
halacha. No.
But just, the process, every time one flies, you make a bird pasul.
But the psul that you're making it is a psul de rabbanan. It's only because this is the solution that the Chachamim told us to follow.
Right, but you made
But for a reason I made it. We didn't just make it pasul, made it for a reason. Yeah. Okay.
So now we can do the same thing. When you make 2 birds pasul, it's going to say, okay, it's the rabbanan, bring it back.
But no, because there...
if you can reverse the pasul of the rabbanan, why can't you build pasul, reverse the pasul?
But they're saying that over there between 6 and 7, there's nothing left to effect trade number 7.
Right, number 7, we still have birds that are unaffected.
Yeah,
so we didn't take it out. In other words, we now know that because of the flight of the birds, so now, of the 7, I can only bring 4. By the way, we didn't point to any one particular bird and say, okay, you're no good. Meaning, we say, of the 7 pair, I'm going to bring 4 of the 7 pair. No particular bird is pointed out, singled out, and saying, you're no good. We just know that of those 7, only 4 pairs can be brought. But now that we revisit the case and we look back at the situation, the only reason why I'm posseling is because it's going to be affected by others. Here, it's not going to be affected by others. Okay, again, I'm not...
So, is the issue saying that...
already possible two on the first going. Like, okay, and after that, we're not possible anything, and therefore it's five. Or there's negation. Like, oh, now we kick the other two ones if we knocked out the first go.
Right. In other words, it sounds like we're going to go all the way back. Yeah. Sounds that way. Now, just to finish up this Mishnah, the imparch min amesos lekulan harei kulan yamuso. Now, if birds fly from mesos, meaning birds that were already consigned to death, so then all of them are going to die. Well, what's the purpose of the Mishnah over here? What's this Mishnah adding to our scenario? Not particularly sure, but okay. We continue. All right, so that is Mishnah Gimel. Okay, so that's it. Meaning that was the hardest Mishnah by far and away that we get in terms of our parak, and now it's a cakewalk. Yes.
How does the Talmud Kama deal with the Yesh Omri?
Well, what they're going to say is what much like what Hedy said. Meaning, look, we followed the rabbinic rule of every flight requires apostling of a bird. We apostle a bird, that's it. We don't turn around. Meaning we don't revisit the case. The fact of the matter is that in round one, when a bird flew into number seven, we have to apostle a bird. That's it, done. And the apostling of the bird is more objective. It's more, that's it, we take out a bird. Kain stuma v'kemu fereshes, parach min astuma l'mu fereshes. Okay, let's imagine now the following scenario. It's so funny. Now these cases are so much easier. Then, and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, these are easy cases. I have a pair of birds for one woman, a pair of birds for another woman, two birds are stuma, undesignated, unassigned, and the other woman's is mufureshet, so they're assigned. Parchman astuma la mufureshet, so now I have one unassigned bird fly to the mufureshet, fly to the pair of birds that are mufureshet. Yikach zug l'sheni. Okay, fine. So now the one woman who has her two unassigned birds only has one unassigned bird. Okay, so get her a pair. It's fine. Chazar osha parchman amufreshes rishon. But now let's say that there's a flyback, meaning so now of the bird that went from the stuma to the mufreshes flies back from the mufreshes to the stuma. So kulan yamusa, then they're all going to have to die. Right. Because you don't know, right, you don't know which flew back. It could be that one of the specified birds flew back to the original cage, and now I have a definite get mixed up with a possibility, as we've learned already. That's no good. Next Mishnah. Chatos mikan v'ola mikan ustuma be'emtza. Okay. Three nests. Pair of undesignated birds, and I have on this side a chatas and this side a ola. Now, why in the world is this particular woman offering just a bird that's a chatas? So let's imagine that she already brought her ola. Okay, she shouldn't have done that. Chatas always comes before ola, but and this woman over here only has an ola bird to bring for whatever reason. So the Mishnah discusses the following: chatas mikan va'ola mikan ustuma be'emtza parach mina emtza litzdadi. And so now, one bird flies over here, and one bird flies over here. Okay, so now I have an ayin together with the stuma, and I have the chatas together with the stuma. So the Mishnah says, that's going to be pretty straightforward. Here's what we'll do. Chatas mikan v'ol mikan v'stuma v'emtza, parch min emtza l'stagim, echad helech v'echad helech, lo hifset klum, you don't lose anything. Ela yomar, zesh alach etzal chatas chatas, zesh alach etzal ola ola. Because remember, these aren't assigned. So the assignment will be very easy. The Kohen will just simply call this one an Ola. The Kohen will call this one a Chatas. Now granted, I don't know which Ola belongs to whom, but it doesn't matter. Meaning both of these now will be shechted, molaked, and malikad, and offered on the top upper portion of the Mizbeach, and these two will be malikad, and offered on the lower portion of the Mizbeach.
But the thing is, then, why would you bring two Chatzot?
What do you mean, two?
Two different women.
Two different for two different
that's not a
No, these are, remember, these are two unspecified birds. One flew over here, one flew over here.
I know that. My question is at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
This person bringing two birds.
No, just one.
No, this person will bring
one.
The
other one.
It's not a pair. She only came in with one bird.
I know.
And this person only came in with one
bird. But at the end of the day, she's going to offer two birds chatoa.
She's not going to do anything. The Kohen will do everything.
But, okay, fine. The Kohen is offering two birds chatoa, though, right?
But it's for two women.
In other words, her chatas together with this bird who didn't belong to this woman, belonged to the middle woman.
Two chatas for two
women. So the middle woman doesn't lose anything.
Nobody. That's the point of the mission. Nobody loses in this case.
Okay.
Because
my question from yesterday still remains. How could you when you don't know the owners?
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's clear.
No answer to that.
It's not that I don't have an answer. That doesn't mean there's no answer. It just means I don't have an answer. there's a difference.
If the owners are not known, they cannot do it. They have to know. This bird is
when you offer a chatas, you have to do it l'shem balim.
And all these examples are not going to work unless you know.
Right. Okay. So chareitz chatas become alam kan k'tiv ve'echal Elohi seklud ella yomer zeh sheitzah chatas zeh shalach eitzah olah. Okay, chazal emtzah. But now, of course, we want to make the case a little more exciting. So, but now I have one bird from each end fly back to the middle. So now you're done. You're not done. You will lose. Ha'entzayim yamusu. So now the middle birds. Remember, because now that the birds flew back to the middle. So, I only write ayin over here because I assigned it. I assigned this as an ayin. And now they flew back to the middle. But of course, you don't know who, doesn't matter. Of course, you don't know which one of these flew back to the middle. Was it the original one that flew back to the middle, or was it I'm making circles, not because they're unspecified, they are specified. I simply don't know now. Which one it was that flew back to the middle?
No, you asked me at the same time. Because if it comes from the right one, as soon as it gets there, so this is the Ola. Because I assigned the Ola.
Okay, fine. No, I understand. All right. You're right. So, Chatzav mekan v'ola mekan v'z, I'm sorry. Chatzav zusha alach et v'ola v'z, chazal emtsa emtsam yamusu. Eile kruvu chatzav v'eile kruvu olos. Chazar o shaparach min emtsa l'sadin. And then... one last time, the two center ones fly back to the two extremes, Harikul and Yamusu, then they all have to die because now you don't know, in other words, you literally have no idea what is on each end. Meaning, is it Ola Ola or is it Ola and whatever. In other words, at that point in time now, you simply lack any knowledge.
Because you don't know which one was assigned, right?
Right, correct. Ein mevin tarin keneged b'nei yona v'lo b'nei yona keneged tarin. Now, although there are only two birds to choose from, meaning either it's your tor or it's your ben yona, okay, and you know, I don't know which one's a pigeon, which one's a dove. One's one and one's the other. Yona is a dove. Right. Right, that's what Noah sent out from the teva. Like I said, I don't know which one's a dove and which one's a pigeon. And Yonah's a pigeon?
Yeah.
And a Ben Yonah is a young pigeon. That's what it says.
Okay, fine. All right.
It makes them both.
Yonah's a dove.
Okay,
Torin sounds like turtle dove. I think that is what it is.
Okay, fine. Okay. Fine. Anyway, the only two birds that you could bring from. And when you bring your obligatory nest of birds, so it's one's going to be a chatas, one's going to be an ola. You can't mix and match. I mean, the Mishnah's point is you're not allowed to mix and match. You can't bring one being a tor and the other one being a ben yona. You can't do that. So the Mishnah says. Now the Mishnah doesn't. Again, this is Mishnayos. So the Mishnah doesn't give psukim. The Mishnah doesn't give drashas. The Mishnayos are machine guns. Just halacha, halacha, halacha. And then you want to understand it, you know, open up a different sefer. It's called the Gemara, it's called the Sifra, but don't look for the Mishnah for explanation. Ein mevin tor keneged b'nei yona, v'lo b'nei yona keneged tor. Ketzad, ha'isha shevi chatas ha'tor v'olas ha'ben yona. So let's say a woman brings her chatas as a tor, and her ola she brings as a ben yona. Now, why did the Kohen allow this to happen? Okay, the Kohen's going to get reprimanded later that evening. Tichbol the tavi olasa tor. Go back, meaning the ola that you brought was unacceptable because it has to be, the birds have to match. Okay, fine. Ola sa tor bechata sa ben yona. Let's go over another case where the ola is brought as a tor and the chatas is being brought as a ben yona. Now the Kohen that night is going to get double reprimand because first of all the Kohen made a fundamental error. Chatas always comes before ola. Okay, so the Kohen offered the ola before the chatas. Okay, so that's correct, but that's one reprimand the Kohen's going to receive, and the other one, of course, is that he crossed birds, meaning that he brought one, the Ola as a Tor, and the Chatas as a Ben Yonah. Techbo v'tavi Ola sa Ben Yonah. She's got to go back. But what does she have to go back on? She's got to go back on the Ola. But it was the Ola that was brought first. Yeah, but the Ola shouldn't have been brought first, meaning the Chatas is fundamentally first. Even if the Kohen offered the Chatas second, still, the chatas is fundamentally first, so it's the chatas that sets the tone. So the chatas is brought as a ben yonah, so now the ola has to be repeated and brought as a ben yonah.
So the chatas, what's the term that ola should be?
Correct. Now, Benazi Omer, our second point of machlokis in all of Masechta Kinim, is the position of Benazi. Benazi says, no, Hochanacha Harishon, I follow the first bird. If even though the first bird was an ola, Benazi says that will set the tone. Even though he agrees, a chata should have been brought first, but in this particular scenario, he says that the ola will set the tone. Okay. Ha'isha she'evi achatasa umesa.
So according to Benazai, the first one is not doka, the one first?
According to Benazai,
it's not doka.
Correct. Now, ha'isha she'evi achatasa umesa. Now, a woman brought a carbon chatas and she died. Meaning, let's say she gave birth, and she has karbanas now to bring, one chatas, one ola, and she had enough time where she brought a chatas. I know they usually come as a pair, I know that she usually brings them together, but imagine a scenario in which she just brought a chatas and Rahman al-Tzlan, God forbid, she dies.
That's lady number 7, about like 18 pairs, and I found that she died from shock.
and she dies. Now, Yavil Yorshin Ola Sa. Now her heirs can bring her ola. Now, right? Now, but let's reverse the scenario. Ola sa umesa, but what if she brought her carbon ola, and only her carbon ola, and then she dies? Lo yavio yarsha chatas, and then the yarshan don't bring the carbon chatas. Because in other words, let's not forget what we've learned time and again throughout Seder Kachim, chatas shemesu ba'ala, meaning it's a carbon chatas she's obligated to bring, but she died, her death provided her her kapara, and so therefore the yarshan don't bring the carbon chatas. Hajon alach ken stuma, and that is the end of the second parak. Okay, now, we start the third parak, and I told you, I just want to do three mishnayos, and they're really not that hard. It's when we get to Mishnah Dalet, and Hey, and Vav, then it gets difficult. Now, here in the third parak of Kinem, what's the topic? Same topic. But what's the focus now? Basically, misconduct by the Kohen. Okay, we are now going to talk about the Kohen who shot first and then asked questions. Now, you're told, right, don't shoot first and then ask questions for obvious reasons. It's hard to ask. That's not true. You can ask all you want. You're just not going to get many answers. But here, we're going to discuss now a whole bunch of scenarios where the Kohen acted improperly. Now, I guess we can have a discussion. We're not going to have it now in terms of the liability of the Kohen for not consulting first and really going rogue. But in the meantime, however, let's say it like this. Now, all this is where the Kohen seeked advice and consulted before bringing. Meaning, everything we set up until now, including the case of the 7 nests, all is done with careful consideration. And asakulan lamala. So the Kohen gets 6 pairs of birds. 3 pair come from one woman, 3 pair come from another woman. And this Kohen, I don't know what's going on in his head right now. And he says, you know what? I'm just going to offer all of them and I'm going to sprinkle the blood of all of them lamala, above the chodah sikra. And I'm going to be right. In other words, right, he treats them all as olas. So, mechsa kasher, mechsa pasal. This one is easy. Half of them are going to be kasher because half of them are ola, but half of them were chatas, and the Kohen right, bumbling through this, just did all of them above. So obviously, the chatzos that were done above are going to be pasul. Good. Kulam lamata. Now, what if half are done below? So then, mechza kasher, mechza pasul. So again, the conclusion is going to be very simple. Chetzim lamala v'chetzim lamata. Okay. Now, here the Kohen again, I'm going back to the case where it's three pairs. Three pairs from one woman, three pairs from another woman. So that's a total now of 12 birds in total. And the Kohen, again, without any consultation, pulled all the birds together and did half above and half below. Now, if they all belong to one woman, so that would have been great. The problem, of course, is that they belong to two separate women. And you can't pair up a bird from one woman with a bird from another woman. So, etchalamala mechza kasher or mechza pasal. The etchalamatan mechza kasher mechza pasal. So, of those 12 birds, the six that he did above, three of them will be good. Of the six that he did below, three of them be good would be good.
Who gets a credit?
Huh?
Which one gets
a credit? I told you. The Mishnah is not focused on that. It's a legitimate question, but the Mishnah doesn't focus on that.
If you're requiring the woman to bring additional korban, but which one is going to bring
your... Right, korban? Right. It's a very reasonable question. Achas lezu, shtayim lezu, v'shalosh lezu, v'esel lezu, umei lezu. Now this next Mishnah is going to talk about the same exact scenario, but here, the scenario as we're going to give it, is going to now deal with uneven amounts. Well, let's say I have one pair belonging to one woman, and the other woman either has two pair, three pair, 10 pair, or 100 pair. I laugh at the idea a woman is obligated to bring 100 pairs of birds. Right? Now, well, the case of the Mishnah is, right, one is a chatas, one's an ola. So, she had 100 children? I mean, even I cannot imagine. So, right, right. It's repeated zava. So asa kulam lamalan mechza kasher mechza pasul. Now we'll start off with the two easy cases. If all of them were done below, half is good, half is no good. Above half is good, half is good, no good. Mechza pasul kulam lamata mechza kasher mechza pasul. Chetzi lamala vechetzi lamatan hameruba kasher. Now, what if she did half of them above, half of them below? In other words, imagine 102 birds, two coming from one woman and 100 coming from another woman. And the Kohen indiscriminately just sends half of them above and half of them below. So hameruba kasher. Go with the larger, with the largest amount, and of those are going to be kasher. Now,
what does that mean?
Wait, neither do I yet. Let me just first finish reading the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah kind of reiterates, meaning, if they're an even amount, so then half and half, as we described earlier. However, if it's an uneven amount, like we just described, so then we go with the greater number. Okay, so what I'll do is the following. I'll stop now. Tomorrow morning I'm going to open up with explaining why in this case do we go with the majority. Why are the majority of the birds going to be kasher in this particular scenario? So opening tomorrow I will explain why that is. I'll try to explain why that is. We're going to do Mishnah Gimel, and then hopefully we're going to hit on Mishnah's Dalei Hei and Vav, and as I mentioned, probably one of the most difficult Mishnayos in Shas. I can't tell you, what kind of teaser can I give you other than that? Meaning you're obviously going to come tomorrow. I continue to refer Shlema. Binyamin Zev. Kohen ben Shalom Rivka. Rafal Zakai Avram Ben Yakira Avigail. ולכן אני מנקה שמרצח אסבר חזק וסלפיך אחר מטרה מצטר שנמנה חפץ המנציקו יגדות רבי ידיר.